The treachery of Prospero's brother, Antonio. Prospero, the leading character in the play, was at one time the Duke of Milan. As the Duke, he devoted most of his time to his philosophical studies and could hardly spare any time for the governance of the state. Finding it impossible to attend to the affairs of the state, he entrusted the responsibility of administering the state to his brother, Antonio. It never occurred to him that his brother might deceive him, because Prospero was by nature a good man who thought others to be equally good. Antonio, however, gradually became more and more ambitious. He went on adding to his power and authority. And in the process, he also replaced the existing officers of the administration with men on which personal support he could rely. Soon he became so powerful that he began to harbor the ambition of himself becoming the Duke of Milan and driving out his brother from the state. He now got into touch with Alonso, the King of Naples, who was an inveterate enemy of Prospero. And he came to an understanding with that man in regard to the affairs of the state of Milan. It was agreed between Antonio and Alonso that Alonso would give his full support to Antonio in Antonio's attempt to drive Prospero out of Milan and then become the Duke of Milan in Prospero's place. In return for this support, Antonio was to pay Alonso an annual tribute of money and also to recognize Alonso's superior position, thus subordinating himself to Alonso's authority. In accordance with this agreement, Antonio, who had already won the full support of the high officials of the state because he had himself appointed them to their positions, proceeded with his plan to oust Prospero from power and, in fact, to get rid of him altogether. With Alonso's support, Antonio now put Prospero and his little daughter Miranda, who was at that time only 5 years old, on a scantily equipped boat and set the boat afloat on the sea. It was Antonio's hope that the boat, after driving upon the sea for some time, would ultimately capsize and that both Prospero and Miranda would perish. However, Antonio's hope was not fulfilled. A certain lord by the name of Gonzalo had secretly replaced food and fresh water on the boat so that Prospero and his daughter should not starve to death. The lord, namely Gonzalo, had also secretly placed Prospero's valuable books of philosophy and metaphysics on the boat in order to enable Prospero to carry on his studies. By good fortune, the boat carrying Prospero and his daughter Miranda one day touched the shore of an uninhabited island, and this island then became the home of Prospero and Miranda. 12 years later, Prospero in possession of supernatural powers. The story of the tempest begins 12 years after the incidents narrated above. Miranda is now a grown-up beautiful maiden, and Prospero is now a very powerful man, because during the period of these 12 years he had been studying his books of most assiduously and has now been able to acquire the magic powers at which he had been aiming. Indeed, Prospero is now a wizard and a necromancer who can control even the elements and the forces of nature. Prospero has been able to gain control over the large number of spirits of the air, spirits of the earth, spirit of the water, and spirits of the fire. Above all, Prospero has gained control over a leading spirit of the air whose name is Ariel, and who performs all kinds of miracles. Prospero has also full control over the deformed creature called Caliban, who was born as an illegitimate son of a witch by the name of Sycorax. But while Ariel is fully and sincerely devoted to Prospero, this Caliban, who is half human and half beast, often adopts a defiant attitude towards Prospero. In fact, on one occasion, Caliban had tried even to rape Miranda, though his attempt in this direction had proved futile. A storm and its consequences. Under Prospero's orders, Ariel causes a storm on the sea at a time when King Alonso of Naples is voyaging from Tunis to Naples after having got his daughter Carvel married to the King of Tunis. With Alonso are Antonio, the usurping Duke of Milan, Sebastian, the brother of Alonso, and the old Lord Gonzalo, and a few other lords. Accompanying Alonso is also his son Ferdinand. The storm now blowing upon the sea is so furious that King Alonso and his companions see no hope of survival. Some of the passengers, including Ferdinand, now jump into the sea while others continue to remain on the board the sea. Again, in accordance with Prospero's instructions, Ariel saves the lives of all the passengers and all the members of the crew, and also preserves the ship, though it seems to the passengers that the ship has got wrecked. Ariel now so arranges things that all the passengers find themselves cast ashore, though in separate groups, each being ignorant of the existence of any other group. King Alonso's son Ferdinand is, however, alone, and he gets the impression that he is able, the sole survivor of the shipwreck. King Alonso has the impression that his son has been drowned in the sea. An intrigue by Antonio and the Sebastian against Alonso and Gonzalo. Alonso is not alone. All his nobles and lords are still with him. He is feeling grief-stricken because he is under the impression that his son Ferdinand has perished in the sea. Gonzalo tries to console and comfort Alonso in his grief. Antonio, who had played false with his brother Prospero and had been irresponsible for exposing Prospero and his little daughter Miranda to the dangers of the sea and the sky, now plays foul even towards King Alonso, who had previously helped Antonio to get rid of Prospero. Antonio instigates Sebastian to kill Alonso and Gonzalo in their sleep, so that Sebastian might then himself become the King of Naples. Alonso's son Ferdinand is believed to have died, while Alonso's daughter Caravelle is now living so far away from Naples that she would never know what is going on in her native country. Sebastian therefore agrees to Antonio's suggestion, but just when the two conspirators, namely Antonio and Sebastian, are about to murder Alonso and Gonzalo, who are lying asleep, the invisible Ariel awakens them, and the murder is thus avoided. However, the two conspirators do not give up their hope and think that they would be able to do away with both Alonso and Gonzalo at the next opportunity. A case of love at first sight. Again, acting under Prospero's orders, Ariel invisibly lures Ferdinand to Prospero's cell. On this island, Prospero had been living with his daughter in a cell and not in any palace or mansion. There, Ferdinand happens to see Miranda, and Miranda sees Ferdinand. Both fall in love with each other at first sight. However, Prospero, who certainly wants that Miranda and Ferdinand should get married to each other with his blessings, does not want that Ferdinand should get the hand of Miranda in marriage too easily. He subjects Ferdinand to the labor of peeling a large number of logs of wood at one place. When Ferdinand is performing this labor, Miranda approaches him and tells him that she would become his wife, and failing that, she would become his lifelong maidservant. Prospero overhears the conversation between Miranda and Ferdinand, and he then becomes convinced that both love each other genuinely. He thereupon decides to let Ferdinand get married to Miranda in due course. A denunciation of the three men of sin by a harpy. Prospero has now to deal with the enemies who had 12 years ago conspired against his life and the life of his little daughter Miranda. These enemies are now completely in his hands, and he can punish them in any way he likes because of his supernatural powers. But his main purpose now is to make these enemies of his realize the gravity of their offense against him. These enemies are Antonio, Alonso, and Sebastian. Antonio was the chief culprit because he was the man who had plotted against Prospero, and he had removed him from the position of Duke of Milan. Alonso and actively helped Antonio to drive out Prospero from his dominions. And Sebastian had also given his implicit support to the intrigue against Prospero. Prospero now orders some of the spirits under his control to appear before Alonso and his companions and lay a banquet before them. These spirits, acting under Prospero's orders, lay the banquet, dance around it, and make gestures inviting Alonso to eat the banquet. The spirits then disappear. Alonso and others are completely bewildered by the strange phenomenon of strange shapes having appeared before them and then having disappeared after laying a banquet before them. After some hesitation, Alonso moved forward to start eating. But just then, Ariel, again acting under Prospero's order, appears before Alonso and others in the shape of Harpy and speaks to them all in a threatening tone. The Harpy denounces Antonio, Alonso, and Sebastian for the crime which they had committed against Prospero. The Harpy describes them three men of sin. The Harpy also says them, Alonso has lost his son Ferdinand because of the crime which he had committed. The Harpy then warns all the three men to come to the right path, to repent of the crime which they had committed, and to take a vow that to lead a sinless life in the future. The Harpy then disappears. Alonso, Antonio, and Sebastian now feel utterly bewildered and mystified. Alonso goes almost mad, while the other two sinners become desperate and lose their balance of their minds. Ariel then leads all these men invisibly into a lime grove and leaves them there as prisoners. A mosque presented by Prospero's spirits for Ferdinand's entertainment. Prospero's next move is to tell Ferdinand that the latter has passed the test to which Prospero had subjected him, and that now Ferdinand would certainly be allowed to marry Miranda. Prospero then arranges a mosque for the entertainment of Ferdinand and Miranda, who are now vetoed to each other. The mosque is enacted by the spirits who were Prospero's command. At the end of the mosque, Ferdinand expresses delight at the entertainment which he has witnessed and enjoyed. The spirits have now disappeared. Prospero tells Ferdinand that in course of time, everything in the world and globe, in the round earth is also globe theater in London, would also melt into the thin air just as the spirits have melted away. Prospero's abdonimation to the sinners and his forgiveness to them. Ariel now reports to Prospero that the prisoners in the lime grove are extremely miserable, and that the good old Lord Gonzalo is feeling particularly distressed. Gonzalo is the Lord who had helped Prospero when Prospero was banished from his dukedom. Gonzalo had placed in the Prospero's boat food, fresh water, and books which Prospero used to value highly. Prospero tells Ariel that his purpose is not to impose any punishment upon the evil doers, except in so far as to make them repent the crime which they had committed against him. Prospero then asks Ariel to bring the whole group of the prisoners before him. Ariel compiles, and the group and whole group led by Alonso appear before Prospero. The three sinners are still looking distracted and bewildered. Prospero first expresses his sins of gratitude to Gonzalo, who had helped him in many years ago. Prospero addresses him as my true preserver and a royal sir to him, thou followest. Then he turns to Alonso, Sebastian, and Antonio and rebukes them severely for having treated him most heartlessly and cruelly 12 years ago, when they had wanted to kill him and his daughter Miranda. However, Prospero
also pronounces his forgiveness upon the sinners because he finds that they are feeling repentant of their crime. Indeed, Alonso is feeling much more repentant than the other two, who remain largely unchanged. Reconciliation and reunion. Prospero has now completed his plan. He has taught the necessary lessons to his three enemies, and he has given his sincere thanks to Gonzalo, who had been very helpful to him. He now takes Alonso and his companions to his cell, where he shows them Ferdinand and Miranda playing chess. Alonso is delighted and thrilled to find his son Ferdinand is alive after all. He feels even more pleased when he learns that Miranda, the daughter of Prospero, has promised to marry Ferdinand with her father's full approval. This is the scene of reconciliation between Prospero and Alonso, and it is also the scene of reunion between Alonso and his son Ferdinand. The main plot and the three subplots. The main plot of the play: Prospero's forgiveness of his enemies, even though he could have imposed severe and lasting punishments upon them all. An important subplot of their courtship and their betrothal would be followed by the marriage ceremony. In addition to this subplot, there are two other subplots in the play also. One subplot is Caliban's intrigue against his master Prospero. As already pointed out, Caliban has proved to be the most ungrateful fellow. And now, having met two members of the king, Alonso's party urges them to kill his master Prospero. These two members of Alonso's party are Alonso's butler Stefano and a jester by the name of Trinculo. These two fellows has got separated from the main group of the survivors of the shipwreck, just as Ferdinand had got separated from them all. Both Stefano and Trinculo are drunkards, and Caliban too gets drunk with the wine which Stefano pours into his mouth. Caliban says that Stefano can become the king of the island by killing Prospero, and that he can marry Prospero's beautiful daughter Miranda afterwards. However, the whole intrigue hatched by Caliban is foiled by Ariel. This intrigue is a source of much amusement for us because the drunken behavior of these fellows and the failure of their plan show them in a comic light. The other subplot is an intrigue hatched by Antonio and Sebastian to kill Alonso and Gonzalo so that Sebastian may become the king of Naples and place of Alonso. Sebastian is also Alonso's brother, and Sebastian is agreeing in Antonio's suggestion that he should murder Alonso and Gonzalo when they are asleep. Parallels Antonio's own action in having disposed his brother Prospero and having seized the dukedom of Pelan. This intrigue too is foiled by Ariel, as we have already noted above. A preponderance of supernatural elements. The most striking aspect of the story of the play is its supernaturalism. In a case, The Tempest is a fantastic play. The incidents and happenings in which are completely diverse from the realities of life. Prospero here appears as almost a good, possessing powers which no human being can ever acquire in real life. Though his agency of a supernatural being called Ariel, he works amazing miracles. Prospero commands all kinds of spirits and he makes use of them to serve his own purposes. In order to enjoy the play, we have to suspend our faculty of disbelief and thus get into the spirits of the play. Only through what Coleridge called a willing suspension of disbelief can we get into the right mood of reading this play. However, the interest of what is known, the realism, is not absent from the play. There is realism enough in the portrayal of the human characters and the working of their minds.